And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage our star, James Stewart, in Mission Completed, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Tom, can you hear me?
Help me, kid.
Gee, Tom. You shouldn't have got out, mister. There, why, brace the chair just like that. There.
Yeah, I'll be all right. Maybe I need a little air.
Gee, you look as white as a sheet.
I don't say anything about this, kid. Just keep your mouth shut until tomorrow, will you? Tomorrow morning, I'll be going away. You promise me that?
Well, okay.
Okay, now, take me home, huh?
Yes, sir.
I was back in my room, flattened out like a pancake. And the bed in the room kept spinning around, wouldn't stay still. Pretty soon I got a sort of a second wind. I decided to try to get up out of bed. I found I could get up okay. I was off a week. I'd just about given up my plan when I happened to look out the window. The day watchman was changing places with the night patrolman, and the item that caught my eye was a big, fat revolver bulging at the man's side. Maybe my plan would work after all. I didn't need Bill Mason and Curly and anybody else. All I needed was my two hands, a little luck. Let's see. I'd have to make another phone call. Well, there's a phone on this floor right in front of Murdoch's door. This is Dr. Benson.
Oh, yes, doctor.
Would you send a bouquet of flowers, roses. Yeah, a lot of big roses, up to 411. One of the patients is leaving, and we like to make him feel good. It's kind of a surprise just before he goes to sleep and the ward's quiet. You see, about 9 o'clock this evening.
Okie dokie. You want some fern to go with it?
Yeah, I think that'd be nice. Just a minute, who delivers at that hour? Have you got someone?
Oh, I deliver myself, just before I close up. Okie dokie.
Fine, thank you. I just got the phone back on the hook when Dr. Benson and two nurses came walking along. Like a shot, I dropped to the floor of the phone booth, and I tried to double up like an accordion. My heart beat so loudly, I was afraid they'd hear it. But drowning out my heart was Murdoch saying something.
Tom. Hey, Tom's on the phone.
Don't be silly, Sandy.
Yeah?
I held my breath, but they kept on walking down the hall, and they turned into the solarium. I got up. I got the door open. I almost fell across the hall into my room. I lay back on the bed, gasping and waiting for my pulse to get back to normal. It was 8 o'clock, getting dark outside. The only sound was the clock ticking in the hall. I was getting all the breaks. Summer shower had just come up. Light wind blowing. I got down the hall all right and through the solarium to the fire escape. It was easy going down, hugging the shadows. Pretty soon I was at the bottom. I spotted the patrol room sitting under the little eaves of the tool shed. He's trying to keep out of the rain. My hand closed around a broken brick that had fallen off the building. I crept up in back of him. I got the brick ready to smash him on the head when I suddenly realized he was asleep. I took a step real close. Then I had his revolver and I was pointing it right into his eyes, which were still blinking off some sleep. And he muttered and then he started to yell. One little whisper and this goes off right in your face. Now get up and get into that tool shed.
Sure.
Open the door and crawl in. Come on, quick. All right, now take this adhesive tape. Tie your feet together. Come on, hurry up. Tight, hurry.
What are you trying to do, fella?
Shut up. Do as I say. I made him tie his feet together with adhesive tape. lie flat in his face while I wound long strips of tape around his wrist.
Take it easy.
I tied his wrist together, and then I hog-tied his wrist and his feet and pulled them up tight behind him. Then I turned him over on his side, and I crammed two handkerchiefs into his mouth. Put long strips of tape around those. And the rain was coming down in buckets as I made my way back to the fire escape. I made the first two flights. Then three. Finally hit four, and I slid on my face out cold. I don't know how long I lay there on those iron bars of the fire escape. It was too long for my plans. Now, there was nobody in the hall, so I ran for it. Still nobody in the hall. Still nobody. Nobody in my room. I slid open the door, and I started for bed. The bed met me halfway, and I lay there soaking wet with a gun sticking out of my pocket. I spun the cylinder. I saw 6.45 caliber bullets. 15 minutes went by. And then it was 9 o'clock, and the ward was very quiet. You could have heard a pin drop. Nothing sounded until I heard the sound of the elevator. And it's stopping on four. Someone had got out of the elevator and was padding down the hall. And it was the same little shuffle I'd heard every day for 3 years in a bug-infested hellhole called a prison camp. Yeah, the same footsteps, the footsteps I used to turn my brain to water and send my heart right down to my shoes. The footsteps that meant someone was going to get up. And I wanted to yell and scream, "Come on, Suki, it's different now. Come on, Suki, I'm waiting for you." Drowned out Suki's feet. So I just took a little short breath, and I waited. And I had to grab the revolver with both hands to keep it steady. And Suki was getting closer. And so I released the safety catch, and I tried to keep my wobbly hand steady. He was almost here now. The knob was turning in the door.
Suki! Suki! This is for Campbell! And this is for Jones! And this is for Mayberry and Evans and Murphy!
Tom, he's dead, and he'll never bother you again. You killed him.
Yes, I did. I killed Suki.
Now give me the gun, Tom. Yeah, that's it. Yes, you killed Suki in your mind. He's dead in your mind. You can forget him now, Tom.
Yeah, I think I better sit down.
Miss Rhodes, shove that wheelchair out of the room. You can sit in a chair, Tom, but not in a wheelchair. You're through with that for good.
What?
Now, Jimmy, what's that? Are you all right?
Yes, Doctor.
No powder burns?
No, I'm fine, Doctor.
Good, good. Now, Tom, I want you to meet Jimmy Cato, who works in our flower shop here, and who was Lieutenant Cato of the armed forces in Italy not so long ago.
Yeah, I killed Suki. I killed Suki.
Yes, yes. In your mind, you killed Suki, Tom, and you're okay now. But the man you thought was Suki was Jimmy Cato. He was born and raised here in this community, and he has almost as many medals as you have. Now, I want you to shake hands with him.
I'm paralyzed. All I can do is blink my eyes.
No, you are not, Tom. You are going to shake hands with Jimmy and thank him.
Hello, Cato. I'm sorry.
Oh, nothing to be sorry about. When Dr. Benson told me about your reaction the day you saw me, I was glad to help out.
You see, Tom, we're pretty thorough here. When you thought you saw Suki, Miss Rhodes made a notation that you flexed muscles you hadn't commanded for nearly 4 years. And so we went from there.
Well, you must have thick skin, Cato. I'm pretty good shot.
No. The patrolmen on the grounds here, Tom, always carry blanks, no bullets. You're going home tomorrow, Tom. Well on the way to complete recovery. And in your mind, there's a big X mark, canceling out a nightmare of 4 years' duration. And written in huge letters is a beautiful sign, Tom. And it says to you, once and for all, mission completed.
Autolite. Tonight's star, James Stewart.
Oh, Mr. Wilcox, Mr. Wilcox.
Well, Gracie, Alan, what are you doing here?
Well, I came to ask you and Jimmy Stewart if you can fix it with Autolite for my husband, Sugar Throat Burns, to sing on Suspense. Our sponsor will hear it and realize how great George is, and then he'll let him sing on our show Wednesday night.
Well, look, Gracie, Suspense is all booked up for next week. Mickey Rooney will be on.
Well, how about the week after that, Mr. Stewart?
No, they're booked up for that week, too. Lana Turner will be here that week. As a matter of fact, they're booked up for the next 4,000 weeks.
Oh, 4,000 weeks would be about...
That's 80 years.
Oh, how about the week after that?
Well, I've got to leave, Gracie. Tell George that he has all my condolences.
Oh, really? I'm surprised they fit him. You know, you're so tall.
Gracie, would you mind if I get in just one teensy-weensy word about Autolite resistor spark plugs?
Teensy-weensy? Oh, you can do better than that. If George were here, I bet he could sing about your spark plugs.
I'll bet he could at that. Everyone is singing the praises of Autolite resistor spark plugs. And that goes for the 400 other products made by Autolite for cars, trucks, planes, and boats in 28 plants coast to coast.
Those are nice lyrics.
Autolite also builds complete electrical systems for many makes of America's finest cars, batteries, spark plugs, generators, coils, distributors, starting motors, bullseye sealed beam headlights. All engineered to fit together perfectly, work together perfectly, because they're a perfect team.
You wouldn't want George to sing that?
No. Friends, don't accept electrical parts supposed to be as good. Ask for and insist on Autolite original factory parts at your neighborhood service station, car dealer, garage, or repair shop. Remember, you're always right with Autolite.
You sure, Mr. Wilcox, that you wouldn't want George to sing that?
I'm sure.
Oh, well, good night and happy Autolite.
Next Thursday for Suspense, Mickey Rooney will be our star. The play is called For Love or Murder. And it is, as we say...
a tale well calculated to keep you in... suspense.
Tonight's Suspense play was produced and edited by William Spear and directed by Norman MacDonald. Music for Suspense is composed by Lucian Morawek and conducted by Lud Bluskin. Mission Completed is an original radio play by John R. Forrest. James Stewart can currently be seen starred in the title role of the MGM picture The Stratton Story.
You can buy Autolite resistor or regular spark plugs, Autolite staple batteries, Autolite electrical parts at your neighborhood Autolite dealers. Switch to Autolite. Good night.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.